If you will, take your Bible out and go ahead and open to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. As you're turning there, we are blessed as a church to have many servants within this church who seek to advance the gospel and the love of Christ. I got to see a group do that this past week at kids camp, a group of adults that went with us, and thankful for them and their impact upon the children that went with us. Miss Dawn was one of those adults, and Miss Kristen Eads, and Miss Kayla Hawkins, and Miss Brittany Cook, and Miss Brittany Morgan, and Miss Jamie Hawkins, and Miss Jessie Marie Edwards. Is that all of them? I hope so. I think that's all of them. All right. And so we had a great time together, and it blessed my heart as a pastor to watch them interact and serve the children of our church, and I am thankful for them, and so thank you for going. And that kind of plays into the message this morning. As we open up God's Word together, we are going to look at servants who strengthen the church. Specifically, we're going to look at one particular group, but then when we come to the end, everything that we look at this morning will apply across every heart, every life, in this room. Specifically, we're going to look at the deacon within the church, servants who strengthen the church. And if you have attended here at First Baptist for a while now, you know that every year around this time, the end of July, the beginning of August, I always preach a sermon on deacons. And I do this because it's important for us to be reminded of what God has said about those who serve as deacons within His church. And so in a couple of weeks, we will nominate two men to serve within this vital ministry of First Baptist, and we must make sure that we choose two men who meet the scriptural qualifications as established by God. As I have said consistently year after year, outside the calling of a pastor, the choosing of deacons is one of the most important decisions a church makes. For if we get this right, choosing the right men to serve, it will bless the church. But if we get this wrong, choosing the wrong men to serve, it will wreck the church. And so I want us to pray now, asking God to bless us with understanding as we look to His Word for guidance on who deacons are, what deacons do, and why they are so vital in the life of the church. So pray with me. God, we come before You, and we humbly ask that as we open Your Word, that through the presence of the Holy Spirit, You would help us understand the Word that we read from the Bible, and help us to understand the Word that will be preached, and how it is vital that we understand who deacons are, what they do, and why they are so vital to the life of the church. And Lord, we thank You for our deacons, for the service they provide to this body, and for how You use them to make Yourself known. We pray Your continued blessing over them. May they be encouraged by this Word today to continue on in the fight. We pray for potential deacons today, that they would listen intently to Your Word, and that they would hear what it means to be a deacon, what the deacon's character is like, how they contribute to the ministry of the church, as they consider, as some of them will be nominated in a couple of weeks, as they consider the role that they will be called to in this church. And I pray for all of us that as we hear these words, we might take them and apply them to our own life and realize that we're all called to serve in one way or another within the body of Christ. So speak to us now, Holy Spirit, work in our hearts for Your glory and for the good of Your church. In Christ's name we pray, amen. We are going to spend our time this morning in two passages, the first in Acts chapter 6, and then the second passage in 1 Timothy chapter 3. So if you want to mark there in Acts chapter 6, and then mark over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, you can. But as we turn to that first passage, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, while the term deacon is not used in this passage, This passage does serve as the foundation for the office or ministry of what Paul later refers to as the deacon in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Before we read the passage here, let me provide a little context about what's occurring here. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 descended upon the believers, and at that moment the church of Christ was born. And as the believers continued to share the gospel every day, the church continued to grow. Well, still in its infancy, Luke tells us of the growing pains the early church was experiencing in Acts chapter 6. Writing there, he begins in verse 1, "Now at this time, while the disciples," that's the believers, "were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews, because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. So the 12," that's the 12 apostles, "summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, 'It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this task. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' The statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenius, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And these they brought before the apostles, and after praying they laid their hands on them. The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." Any church that is experiencing growth will always experience growing pains. Whether those growing pains be seen in confusion over who the new people are who have joined the church, or the feeling that the small familial church feeling that once existed is being replaced by a big church feeling, growing pains always occur in a growing church. Well, here in Acts chapter 6, as the church was growing, physical needs were going unmet, and this was causing strife within the body of the church. You see, early on in the life of the church, the apostles, the 12 men mentioned in Acts chapter 1, likely took care of a lot of the needs of the people within the church. But by the time we reach Acts chapter 6, the church has grown into the thousands. And to expect 12 apostles, 12 men, to care for the needs of thousands of people would not be wise, nor would it be possible. In fact, if you were to go back to Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it states that the number who came to believe in Christ as Savior and be added to the church was 5,000 people. We read here, Acts chapter 6, verse 1, that the church was continually increasing in number. If we were to take just the number in Acts chapter 4, verse 4 alone, 5,000, that would mean that each apostle would be responsible for 416 people themselves. An impossible task. So the apostles, when they hear about this complaint that the Hellenistic widows are being overlooked in the daily distribution of food, this is causing strife within the church, and we're bringing this to you, the apostles, because you're the leaders of the church and we need you to do something about it, they come up with a plan, a way to deal with this growing pain. And in looking at the plan they come up with, we see what the calling of deacons entails. That the calling of deacons entails serving the church's needs. Acts chapter 6 verse 1 tells us that the Hellenistic Jews felt their widows were being overlooked and that the native Hebrews' widows were being given preferential treatment. This growing pain in the growth of the early church, if not handled delicately and with care, could split the church into two factions. So we read there in verses 2 through 6, how the apostles called the congregation, the church together and said, we don't have time to take care of all of your needs. There's only 12 of us and there's thousands of you. We don't have the time to shepherd you and disciple you and take care of all of your physical needs, nor do we have the energy to continue such a ministry. There's only 12 of us. So here's what we recommend. You need to choose from among yourselves 7 men who can serve in meeting the needs of the church. The congregation agrees, and we read the names of those 7 men that were chosen to serve in this way in verse 5. This shows us that deacons were appointed to care for practical matters so that the apostles and pastors could focus on prayer and the Word, on shepherding the flock that God had entrusted to them. So why is it important for us to recognize that the calling of deacons is to serve the needs of the church? It's important because I have seen churches choose deacons for many other reasons other than this biblical reason. I have seen churches choose men because of popularity, status, and power they have within the church. And listen to me, choosing men because of their popularity, their status, or power within the church is a sure way to wreck the church. Deacons are called to serve the church body, not to seek status and power for themselves. They are called to meet tangible needs to support spiritual growth, which shows up in 2 ways, according to this passage. First, it shows up as they seek to preserve the unity of the church. Remember, the issue here was over the neglect of the physical needs and the lives of the Hellenistic widows. This was a situation that was causing strife and causing disunity within the church body, and it needed to be resolved. Thus, men who would serve to take care of these needs were called upon to serve so that unity of the church remained intact. Deacons who serve well within the church body serve to preserve the unity of the church. But then second, in serving to meet the church's needs, deacons through their service to the church enable the pastor to pray and preach. The pastor's primary calling upon his life is just that, to pray and study God's Word so that he can rightly deliver it to God's people week after week. And friends, this is something that takes time and must not be neglected. Pastor John MacArthur, who has influenced me more on this point than anyone in my life, writes, many in the ministry today have left the emphasis of prayer and the Word of God. They are so involved in the administrative details of their church that they have little time left for prayer and study. Yet pastors are given to the church for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:12. Their calling is to mature the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. By neglecting that calling, they doom their congregations to languish in spiritual infancy. Programs are no substitute for the power of God and His Word. Those whom God has called to the ministry of prayer and the Word must make it their priority. Prayer and the ministry of the Word are inseparably linked. Prayer must permeate a pastor's sermon preparation, or his sermons will be superficial and dry. He must also pray constantly that his people will apply the truths he teaches them. The man of God must also pray that he would be a pure channel through which God's truth can flow to his congregation. And so deacons serve the church as they are meeting the real physical, tangible needs of the congregation, which then serves to enable the pastor to pray and preach. It frees the pastor up so that he can intensely pray for his congregation and study God's Word rightly so that he can communicate it rightly to his congregation for their spiritual growth. So when it comes to choosing deacons, we should not ask who is the most popular or who has the greatest status and power. No, instead we should ask, who is the man that is already serving to meet needs within the church without being asked to do so. Because if you find a man like that who is serving without needing to be asked, then you may have found a good man to serve as a deacon. Deacons are called to serve the needs of the church. Now, as I just said that we need to ask the question, who is the man that is already serving to meet needs within the church without being asked? In answering that question, if we can name such a man or men, that does not automatically qualify them to serve as a deacon. That's why I also said, if you find a man who is serving without being asked, you may have found a good man to serve as a deacon. Because you see, there are certain biblical qualifications the man must meet before the church should ask him to serve as a deacon. And so let's turn to our second passage now, 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, when you get there, we're going to look at verses 8 through 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13. Paul writes, "Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued, or addicted to much wine, or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested. Then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife, and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Paul, here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13, speaks about the character of the deacon, and that character can be summarized with two words, that the deacon is godly and trustworthy. Godly and trustworthy. These men are dignified, meaning serious about the ministry of the church. They are not double-tongued, meaning they are consistent in their speech. They don't say one thing to one person while saying something completely different to another person. These men are not addicted to anything that might control them, alcohol or any other such substance. These men are not greedy, seeing their service within the church as a way to enrich themselves. Then in verse 9, these men hold to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, which means they hold to and they live by the teaching of the Bible. They don't just believe the truth, they live the truth. Then finally, their life and their home, they reflect their integrity and their faithfulness. They love their wife, being devoted only to her. They love their children, raising them in and by the Word of God. They're financially responsible, seeing everything they have as a blessing from God that is meant to be used in the service of His kingdom. The man who serves as a deacon is godly in his character and trustworthy in his speech and actions. So when it comes to choosing a man or men to serve as deacon, we look for a man or men who serve to meet the church's needs. We look for a man or men who have the right character, that they are godly and trustworthy. So now let's conclude by noting the contribution of deacons, which is advancing the mission. So let's go back to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Note what it says. "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." Deacons serve in a way to advance the mission of the church. When deacons are serving well, the word of God spreads and disciples multiply. The unsaved are reached with the gospel. The mission of reaching the unsaved with the gospel advances as they serve well within the body. But also when deacons are serving well, the Word of God spreads within the church, and the church is built up in Christ. As a church, we should not choose deacons based on their personality, their likability, their charisma, their influence or power. We should choose deacons who are committed to seeing the mission of the church advance in the world and in the church. So to our current deacons, serve with humility, knowing that your work supports gospel ministry. To the church, honor and pray for our deacons daily, because their service is vital to your own physical and spiritual health. To potential deacons, aspire not to power, but to godly service and integrity. In a couple of weeks, we will choose two men to serve as deacons. As we do so, may we choose men who have a heart and a desire to meet and serve the tangible needs of the church. May we choose men who meet the character qualifications as laid out in Scripture, that they are godly and trustworthy in all that they do. And may we choose men who have the goal in their heart of seeing the mission of the church, the mission of Christ, the gospel of Christ advance through the world, in the church. But as I close, I recognize that not every one of us will serve as a deacon. So let me close with a challenge for all of us. Because you see, deacons are not the only ones who are to serve within the body of the church. As we learned in our study of 1 Corinthians earlier this year, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says that every member of the church is to be a serving member who employs or uses the spiritual gifts God has given to them to serve. Paul writes there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons." And then he says, "But to each one," that is each member of the church, each Christian who belongs to the church, "is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Paul says every member of the church has been gifted by God for the common good of the church, which means every Christian has been gifted to serve within the body of the church in some way. What Paul is pointing out is that we are all called to be servants within the church body. So the challenge I want to leave you with is simply this. Are you willing to serve in quiet, faithful ways to build up the body of Christ? You see, greatness in God's kingdom is not measured by status. Greatness in God's kingdom is not by having the title pastor or deacon or Sunday school teacher. Greatness in God's kingdom is measured by one's service to the body of Christ. While we will select two men to serve as deacons within the life of First Baptist, let's each one ask ourselves, how am I serving within the life of First Baptist? Because we are all called to be servants who strengthen the church. May we be faithful to the task. May we desire each one to meet the needs within the body. And may we each one desire to have the godly character that we are to have and be trustworthy in our speech and in our conduct and in our actions. And may we each one have a heart's desire to see the mission of Christ advance in the church and through the church to the ends of the world. Because Christ has not called just deacons to do that. He's called His entire church to do that. And may it be when we come to the end of our lives that we have been faithful to the task. God, we come to You. We thank You for Your Word. I pray right now that in this moment, I pray that our current deacons will have been encouraged, challenged by this Word. I pray for us as a church that we would see how we could pray for our current deacons. I pray for potential deacons that they would see the type of character they're to have, godly and trustworthy. The contribution they make to the church as they advance the mission. That they are also called to serve to meet the needs of the church. And God, we don't know who those two men are that will be nominated to serve in this capacity, but You already do. And I pray that right now You would begin to prepare their heart to step into that service for Your glory and the good of First Baptist. But Lord, I also hope that we all see it's not just the deacons. It's not just the pastor that's called to serve the church body. We are all called to serve in one way or another within the body of Christ. And so may we make that our goal, that I'll serve quietly and I'll do what I've been called to do, to build up the body of Christ, to advance the mission, to meet needs when I see them, to be godly in my conduct and trustworthy in my actions and words. And may that all be done to Your glory and for the upbuilding of the church of Christ and for the salvation of lost people who need Jesus. Now as we reflect upon this Word and we respond to it, may You be glorified in this moment. May we be encouraged and equipped and strengthened having heard Your Word this morning. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.